What? Surely he didn't have it in mind to take that little coon home with us, did he? He certainly had left me with that impression, and maybe we ought to pause here to discuss my position on coons. First off, let me make it clear that I was just as soft-hearted about orphans as the next guy, but my warm feelings stopped short of coons. Or put it this way, I felt sorry for the little guy losing his ma and being left alone in the world, but I was pretty sure that our outfit didn't need a pet coon. Hey, coons and dogs are natural enemies. They don't like us and we don't like them. And there are some very good reasons why dogs and coons don't get along. Coons operate on the other side of the law, don't you see? They're one of the animals we dogs do battle with on a daily basis.
But they're cute, you say.
Sure, right, they're cute. Until you run into one that weighs 40 pounds, and you have no idea how destructive a 40-pound coon can be. They kill chickens. They steal eggs. They get into your feed barn and tear open sacks of feed and throw it all over the place. They get into the trash can and throw garbage all over the ranch. And speaking of trash, a bunch of coons can absolutely trash a cornfield or a watermelon patch. And yes, they steal dog food. Did you know that? Yes, they love to steal dog food. And if the dog happens to object to that, they will fight over it. And yes, they're pretty good fighters. Very good fighters. I never miss an opportunity to. That is, fighting coons is way down the list of things I enjoy doing. They don't fight for fun, is what I'm saying. They're very serious about fighting. The point is, coons are natural-born thieves and troublemakers, and we sure as thunder didn't need one as a pet. Didn't we have enough pets on the ranch? I mean, two dogs and one cat ought to be enough pets for... Not that I'm a pet. Far from it. Cow dogs work for a living, and we earn our keep. But we didn't need a coon, one of our enemies, living as a spy in our very midst. Midst, I suppose it is. A spy in our very midst. No, we didn't. And I hoped that Slim was aware of all this and wouldn't get carried away with a sudden wave of compassion for widows and orphans. Sure, he was cute. I could see the little snipe up there in the fork of the tree, looking down at us with his beady little eyes. And yes, he looked cute and pitiful and helpless and hungry and all that other stuff. But I happen to know from personal experience that cute little coons grow up to be not-so-cute big coons. And they're nothing but trouble, and I had no intention of... Surely Slim had enough sense to realize. He reached out his hand and picked up the coon, who promptly tried to bite him. See? I knew it. I could have told... A moment later, Slim was on the ground again, holding the little beggar in one hand and petting him with the other.
There we go. That's better. You don't want to bite old Slim, do you? No, 'cause you're an orphan now, and you need a friend. Just take it easy, little guy.
It was then that Slim noticed me. Perhaps he saw from the expression on my face that I didn't approve of this, not even a little bit.
Now, Hank, you're going to have to make some adjustments to this deal. I know what you're thinking, and I don't like it. You might as well get used to this little feller, 'cause we're taking him home.
I knew it. He'd gotten swept away by the widows and orphans business.
Now, let's introduce you two. What would be a good name for this little guy?
Mud. Trouble. Homewrecker. Plague.
How about Eddie? That sounds right. He looks kind of like an Eddie. Eddie the Rack. What do you think of that, Hanky?
I thought it was a pretty dumb name. I didn't like the name. I didn't like the coon. I didn't like the idea. And Eddie and I were never going to be pals. I could tell him that right away.
Hank, say hello to Eddie.
I would not say hello to a coon.
And Eddie, say hello to... I guess that you Hootie hadn't noticed me until that very moment. And when he did...
Whoa!
You never heard such a deep and terrible growl come out of such a insignificant little ball of fur. I mean, we're talking about major noise. Quick as a flash, he climbed up Slim's arm, scampered across his shoulder, and took refuge behind his head. That's right. He held onto Slim's head and face, just as though it were a tree trunk. Knocked Slim's hat on the ground and changed the location of his glasses. From that position, he glared down at me and growled some more. Oh, and then he started making that click sound that coons make when they're upset. I can't demonstrate that sound because, well, dogs don't click. And it's a very unusual sound, and only a coon can make it. And when you hear it, you know that trouble is nearby. The thought occurred to me that I should bark. I mean, you Hootie had growled at me for no good reason, and I didn't need to take that kind of trash off a sniveling little coon, and... Hey, dogs are supposed to bark at coons. That was part of our job. On the other hand, it also occurred to me that barking at this particular coon, who had his sharp little claws all over Slim's face and head, barking at this particular coon might not be such a good idea. Oh, yes. And Slim aimed a pistol finger at me and said, "Don't you dare." Me? Why, what made him think? What had I... He peeled the coon off of his head and set him on his shoulder, picked up his hat, and straightened his glasses. "Hank, I've got a feeling that Eddie's got an allergy to dogs. It ain't gonna be love at first sight.
No, or second, or third.
But that's natural. He'll get over it."
No, he wouldn't. And even if he did, I wouldn't get over it. I didn't like coons, never would, and adopting an orphan coon was just about the dumbest idea I could imagine.
"Well, let's take him to the house and see if we can find him something to eat. I'll bet he's starved."
Fine, but Slim would be sorry. He would regret this, and when he did, I would be right there to say, "I told you so. I tried to warn you, but you wouldn't listen." We hiked back to the pickup. Yehudi rode on Slim's shoulder. I guess he thought Slim had become his own personal something. Taxicab, I suppose. Beast of burden. Horse. I couldn't have cared less. If Slim wanted to devote his whole life to food. And let me tell you, the little pest never took his eyes off of me. That was probably a good idea, because I never took my eyes off of him either. And if the opportunity ever arose to... Well, this was not love at first sight. When we reached the pickup, I took up my usual position beside the door. It was a crouch position from which I would spring onto the seat just as soon as...
"Not this time, Pooch. You ride in the back. I don't think Eddie would enjoy having you up front, and I ain't in the mood to get my hair torn out. Get in the back."
I gave him my most wounded look and switched my tail over to tragic wags. He pointed towards the back of the pickup. Fine. I didn't want to ride up front with him anyway. In fact, if he was going to be so hateful about it, I would just walk to the house. I had four legs, good legs, and I hadn't forgotten how to use them. I walked all the way back to headquarters. When I got there, the place was abuzz with excitement about Slim's new pet. Everyone was up at the machine shed, where it appeared that Slim and Loper were trying to patch up an old rabbit hutch. And I mean everyone on the ranch. Slim, Loper, Sally Mae, Little Alfred, Baby Molly, Drover, Pete, everyone. I didn't bother to put in an appearance. I found a shady spot beside the water tank and flopped down and proceeded to beam glares towards the assembled multitude. I could hear them talking about how cute little Eddie was. If I heard that word cute one more time, I was going to. I didn't know what, but I was sick of hearing it. What was the big deal about being cute? What about a dog who showed up for work every day, did his job, sacrificed his personal comfort for the safety of the ranch, and had put in years of loyal service? That didn't count for much, it appeared. Let a stranger with a cute face show up and... Phooey. Me and Eddie the Rack, we're not gonna get along.